And welcome everyone back to the Anime Secrets Declassified JoJo podcast. I'm here tonight joined by Anthony.
Hey, it's me, Anthony Davis.
The Connor Healy.
What's good, folks?
And today we're running at the request of an unknown gangster, we are running a three-man group because we are told the number four is, well, it's a cursed number. And who are we to judge a very handsome Italian boy? Am I right, guys?
That's correct.
Yup.
All right. So, latest episode, dealt with Mista. Opening thoughts, guys.
Well, first off, I love Sex Pistols. The stand itself is so unique. Well, not really too unique, but because I've seen the little miniature stands that I've seen in the past. But this one is different because not only is it are they sentient, but they actually eat and they talk and they interact, and I like that. It's pretty cool. They argue, they bicker, it's just.
They all have their unique personalities. One guy's just straight up a dick to the others.
I'm just like, number five, leave. Number three, leave number five alone.
Yeah, I will say.
Just being a jerk to him, like, my God.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, I really dug the stand. I really like this episode. Loved all the attention to Mista, and it showed that once again, these guys are kings at pacing. They gave us a good action-packed episode this time around. We go from the slow-paced kind of cat and mouse, very drawn-out investigative fight. Previous on the boat within a boat, and then we go right to an amazing one, a heck of a dance number.
Oh my God, yes.
The way it's they awesome. Shot that sequence was phenomenal. I did not know what to expect, and I was so blown away by it.
So I was expecting this because at some of the JoJo pose panels I've gone to, they have us reenact the dance.
Well, I mean, I knew the dance was coming. I didn't know how they were going to do it.
Yeah, do it, yeah.
Right. And so I'm just like, okay, how are they going to animate it? How's it going to look like? And then they just kept joining in and joining in. And I'm not going to lie to you, my head was bopping along with the song that they chose.
Yeah. For some reason, I was getting a vibe of both Prince and Notorious B.I.G.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the banging the part with guys, another level. And I'm like, that sounds a lot like Biggie Smalls.
No, I will say before they started doing the dance, I just like how everyone just kept taking turns beating the holy heck out of the body while the head is just like looking helplessly, like trying to yell in pain. And oh man.
Right.
They just kept on asking questions and whooping the tar out of them and they just one thing I gotta ask is, I mean, they realized his mouth was zippered shut, right? Like he couldn't respond if he wanted to. I guess that was the point, though.
That was the point. They just wanted to mess with him.
Yeah,
like I said, these aren't the Stars Crusaders or the Diamonds Unbreakable. Like they will jump you. Like they don't even care.
They're gangsters.
Yeah,
I will say that gangstars. It made me realize how really terrifying Bruno's stand can be.
Mm-hmm.
Like we saw him use it, to hide, and we saw him use it to extend his body. But then him using it on another person, and
it was weird though. Like he zipped the guy's head off completely, but I guess his stand can make it so you're not like dead. It's just like subspace between subspace, so you're still technically alive or whatever.
Yeah.
You'd think, though, that he could, I mean, I guess if he wanted to, he could unzip the person's head and then just remove the zippers and then leave them decapitated or something.
Yeah, so it made me realize, man, Bruno's stand is seriously nothing to mess with.
Oh, yeah. Neither is Mista's.
Oh, right, yeah.
For that matter.
And the fact that, like, he, the way he tortured the guy, like, he ends up using a fish hook line, puts it to his eyelid, have him hang, then give him glasses or whatever that reflects to the sun. And you're just like, wow, like he's literally, his eyes are literally burning. Is redness. Like, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. And I will say this, Mista had one of my favorite scenes in this episode where Giorno's explaining, like, you know, I'll turn this life raft into a fish to get me to the island. And then Mista's like, all right, pulls out the gat and says, I'm coming with you. Yes. I thought that was just straight up cool.
I like that he did that after he gave his speech. He's like, you know, I just want to have a dream, blah, blah, blah. He's like, eh, I like this guy. I'll join you.
All right, I'll help you out.
I mean, it's my episode, I mean.
Right, and so kind of back to Sex Pistols. You know, the stand similar to this, Emperor, it was just basically pulls out a gun. And this one, it's like the stand.
Just has a gun.
The gun isn't a stand, but the
bullet. Yeah, the gun's just a gun, isn't it?
But he uses the bullets to kind of like control, like the stand is itself, and they basically.
Okay, yeah, I was like lost because I thought the gun was part of them.
I'm sorry, say it again.
Because it looks like they just straight up live in the gun.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe he has I'm not sure if they're connected to the gun or if it's a specific gun or if he's just like, hey, this stand has to be connected to a gun. This is the gun I have, or this is the gun that works the
best. Yeah, I think it's his lucky gun. He's probably had it for like a long time and decides that that's his gun. His gun that he uses for his stand.
And it got me to like one of the more like, wait, what the heck moments where out of the blue, he just pulls out a giant dinner table, wine, bread. And I'm like, wait, how did you get this? Where did you get this? And where did it all fit?
Right.
It's like,
I would say like, oh, did Jono like have that just the case? But no, it's not. He's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, even he was like, WTF, where the heck did this come from?
There goes in that bizarre, you know, scenario there.
Right.
But yeah, I doubt his stand could do this.
Yeah, no, maybe it can, and we haven't discovered it yet.
Maybe.
Maybe he just has a kind of link option where he has like a limitless pocket.
Right.
But yeah, so you know, get a little bit more of Mista.
And I'm more likely like with Abashi, you're probably gonna get his flashback to probably the next episode.
I didn't mind it though, just you know, with this one it's like we don't need I'm sure we'll learn his backstory at some point, but with this one it's just like the guy just straight up stepped up and said, all right, yeah, let's go take out this guy who's trying to take us out early.
I'm only saying that because of how they're introducing the characters thus far. Like, we already got Bacio's story. We're getting Mista's story. We might get Narancia or Fugo's backstories in their respective episodes down the line. And maybe even Bruno, too.
I thought it was cool that they were basically like, all right, let's put Mista to work. Let's have him have an episode where he's, you know, let's show him everything. I thought the little lunchtime sequence was great. It was very, very funny. Mista has a lot of personality. There's a lot going on with him. Very entertaining guy. I like him a lot. I can totally tell why he is a lot of people's favorites. And this was a very good episode for him to have, because it gave him a little bit of that humor, because he's a funny guy. He has good interactions with people. But it also showed what a badass and how quick thinking he was, because even at the end, he was like, okay, well, I better find this guy. He's looking at the... And he does so much of it without the use of his stand. It shows, you know, he's just a good operator. You know, he can track somebody. He can think on his toes. He can run really fast. He can jump onto the truck if he needs to.
Oh, yeah.
I can see why Bruno chose him to be part of his group.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, Mista's just shaping up to me, it feels like he's shaping up to be kind of Polnareff, Okuyasu kind of role, but... Not nearly as dumb as them. I mean, they're not really dumb, but they're the butt of a lot of jokes.
Yeah, they get in a lot of situations. They get in a lot of situations where they're the ones that get attacked the most.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even their fault. It just happens because reasons.
Yeah, and they don't really use their head too much, except pulling her up at the end when he was fighting Vanilla Ice. But, you know, this one seems to be like the kind of goofier one, but like when, you know, stuff hits the fan, he's ready to go.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
When it counts.
Yeah. And then that sequence with Sex Pistols where it's like guiding the bullet. It was like, ooh, man.
Yes.
And when the guy thinks he gets away, the bullets are like, nope. Just like kick it right into the leg, and I'm like, oh,
that precision.
Yeah, I like how how they were both basically like soccer kicking the bullets around.
Yeah, He will make like the perfect like sharp like assassin slash sharpshooter. Like you need to cap somebody, just hire Mista, and he'll do it no problems.
Oh yeah.
No, I mean, off a guy, sure, I can do it right now, pal. And then you're like, oh, but the bullet's that way. And he's like, oh, I know. And then, bam, it's a target.
Yeah, and then, like, after he shoots him, he's, like, tracking him down, seeing where the blood leads, and then just that cliffhanger of, like, wait, the truck's moving. Where did Mista go?
From what I could tell, he jumped on it. He swung onto the side.
Right. But you know what I'm noticing with... After episode four, it's not really about Giorno as much. You don't see Giorno. I mean, Giorno is there. He's doing stuff. But he's not, like, the center focus of most of these episodes now. It's like it's the other gang members that are getting their focus. And I do appreciate that. Because majority of the time, it's always the protagonist that always gets the... You know, majority of the lead, he's always doing stuff, blah, blah, blah. But then here, you spread all the, you know, information about these characters and the focus, and I like that.
Mm-hmm. Like, just how in the last few episodes it was Bruno and Abacchio, and then this one, you know, Giorno was there, but, you know, he kind of got shifted a little bit to the background, as it was Mista, who was, like, up on the front lines, you know, scouting where the guy was at. Giorno was just playing backup or support.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in most of the other series, it's always flipped around. It's always the crew that's playing support and the main JoJo playing lead.
Mm-hmm. Well, because right now we're dealing with Giorno being kind of... It's not like he's out of his element, but he's on a whole other level. I mean, Giorno mostly was what, like a petty thief, con man, sort of. You know, he was running a circuit stealing luggage. Now he's in an actual gang and he's doing hits and he's got to work with, you know, people who know everybody involved, other than him. Obviously, they're like, oh, well, we know who Mista is. We know who Bruno is. Obviously, they see Bruno as a threat. If they're gonna send people with stands after him, you know, they're not just sending. And part of that might be because they want to be, you know, they're not going to send a bunch of dudes to go shoot up a boat. They want to be tricky and sneaky about it, but also because they're like, well, we know this guy's serious.
Mm-hmm.
Now we get to watch Giorno really throw himself into this gang star life and be like, okay, well, now I gotta use my stand and everything I've got around me because we're in it for the long haul now.
And Giorno's still essentially being initiated into the group. Yeah. Like, most of them still don't trust him too much.
Abaccio wouldn't even let him see his stand. He said, you can hear it, buddy. I'm not gonna let you look at it.
Right, and this was, you know, even after Giorno threw himself, you know, saying, all right, Abaccio, I trust that you'll find this. And even after that, Abaccio is still like, yeah, no, I still don't trust you. Like, you're not part of this group yet. So it could be why he's in the background still. He just doesn't know what he's doing. Well, he knows what
it's
he's
like,
doing.
It's like, he's the PA.
What's up?
It's like we are following this character. We know this character is the main character. It's just the fact that we need to. It's sort of like he's there, but he's observed. He's supposed to observe. When he's attacking, he can attack. You know, it's not like very formulaic. It's not like, just wants to do all the fights and stuff like that. No, it's actually like different people doing different things. But he's still the main character. He's still the main lead. It's just that you're not going to just be dealing with just him 24/7.
For sure.
And that's why I do appreciate that, because a lot of shows do that, where the protagonist is like kind of like, you know, in the background, but like he still does stuff.
Right. It's not like some shows, you know, they have the protagonist join the group and he's immediately shown as to be the best at everything.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, they're still like, you know, he doesn't know what exactly he's dealing with. The rest of these guys have an idea of what they're dealing with, which is why they're being super precautious, because they don't know. I mean, some of them may think Giorno's been sent as a sleeper agent for them.
Exactly.
Who knows? But yeah, no, it's definitely good to see, you know, how he'll start winning some of the rest of the group over. You know, we know he's already won Bruno over. And Mista, after the speech, said, all right, I'll take a shot. See if he can hold his weight. So we'll see what happens in the next episode. Because, oh man, we got ourselves another two-parter.
Yep.
Right.
All right, so final thoughts on the episode. We'll go with Anthony and move our way down.
Overall, I did enjoy this episode. The highlight for me was the dance and the fact that Mista treats his stand basically like a parent scolding his children, basically, you know. But that was very hilarious.
Connor?
Good action. Real good display of Mista. I really liked the interaction he had with his stand. He was like, don't treat them like they're pets. Don't talk about them like that. You don't often see people in JoJo's have that close a bond with their stand. They'll be like, oh, well, my stand can do this or my stand will do that. But they treat it like a weapon or a tool.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like where in Bleach you'd hear a guy go, oh, well, my
Zanbato.
My Zanbato can do this and that and the other thing, and it does this. But, and this is like, no, he's treating it because it's a living creature. They're all, well, and also these, his stand is multiple creatures that all have a whole lot of personality to them. And I'm wondering if those are all facets of him, or because they're supposed to be kind of based off of you. So I wonder if it's just like a reflection of him. But I guess we'll probably see more of that later.
Right.
No, definitely. Dancing was amazing. You know, starting to develop with some of the other gang members. You know, we've moved on from Abaccio to Mista today. Was great. I can't tell you how many different videos I've seen with the music of the dancing being replaced by something else. So that is just something that's the gift that keeps on giving, essentially. Dan Somers is great to see animated.
Right.
All right. Well, that is going to go ahead and wrap up this edition of the Anime Secrets Declassified JoJo's podcast. We'll catch you guys all next week when we see the second part of Sex Pistols.
Yep.
So until then, you guys all have a good night. Say good night to the beautiful people.
All right.
Ciao. Good night and good luck.